This is Texans Huddle, brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amity Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, who I'm sorry to say is a little chippy today.
Yes, I am, Patty. Very chippy indeed. You know, I am just completely shocked over the course of events of the last few weeks for this organization and very serious stuff. And it's just beyond belief. I mean, you can't even script it. It would be a horror movie at this point. It's just so strange what this organization is going through, but we have 8 games to go. You're only at the halfway point here, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, definitely some bizarre circumstances, and you know, you try to keep it in perspective as to what's important. And in talking about that, obviously what happened to Gary Kubiak this week, we're glad, we're happy, we've prayed for him that he's okay. Nonetheless, another Houston Texans loss.
Oh, it is another loss, Patty, of course. And as far as Coach Kubiak goes, you know, you're dealing with a man's life here. And now that things are stable, you're dealing with his health. It's important that he make sure that he's 100% ready to come back to work before he does. So Wade Phillips is handling the team. But what a scary night it was Sunday night against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, let's delve into that a little bit more a little bit later on in the show. But let's check out the highlights and what happened with Coach Gary Kubiak in this week's Texans Rewind.
2 weeks ago, Gary Kubiak started Case Keenum because his team needed a spark. Tonight, they'll need fire as they look to snap a 5-game losing streak and take down the team leading their division.
Coming off the bye week, the Texans were looking for a spark. It didn't take long for lightning to strike, 60 seconds actually, for the newly anointed starting quarterback to provide not just a spark, but a jolt of electricity to the already frenzied home crowd.
Keenum takes the snap. Fakes the give. Bootlegs to the right side. Has a lot of time. Guns it long down the right sideline. Wide open. Andre Johnson, 20, 10, 5. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston. Keenum goes deep. And the Texans score first. 62 yards. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Case Keenum.
Still in the first quarter, it was Keenum again hooking up with Andre Johnson for our HCC Go Get It, It's Yours play of the game, this time for 41 yards.
Keenum fakes the give, sprints out to the right, and he delivers long, deep downfield. Watts Andre Johnson has him for another touchdown. Andre Johnson, 41-yard TD catch. Andre had not caught a touchdown pass until tonight. Now he has 2.
An early offensive assault and inspired defense showed the fans and the nation a glimpse of the team many have waited nearly 2 months to see.
What? Back in the pocket, looking, and he goes down. He's sacked. Joe Mays. Watt puts the leg down. Here's the rush. And Watt and Antonio Smith get there, and they sack Andrew Luck. The ninja wraps his big arms around him and brings him to the ground.
And one more time before the half ended, Keenum would lead the Texans down the field on a 7-play, 72-yard drive in the final minutes to give the Texans a 21-3 halftime lead.
Keenum, quick throw, left side of the end zone. Andre Johnson with the catch. Rock and roll. They do it again. Surprise, surprise. Keenum to Johnson for the third time tonight.
But before the elation of an explosive first half subsided, the joy in Reliance Stadium came to a screeching halt when Coach Gary Kubiak went down with what would later be diagnosed as a mini stroke.
It was really weird. You know, obviously coming in and started yelling for a trainer, and, you know, they say that he had passed out, and, you know, we're all very worried. When we went back out, they told us that that he was all right. He was stable. They didn't know what was going on yet, but you know, obviously we were all you know, upset about that, but trying to stay focused at the same time.
I mean, it's definitely something you think about. It's on your mind when you're out there playing, but you know, you try to focus on the game and you know, just go out and do your job. You try not to. you have to try to block it out, but at the same time, you know, it's something you still think about.
In the second half, with their coach's health weighing heavy on their minds, the Texans allowed the Colts back in the game by scoring only 3 points and allowing big play after big play.
Third and goal for the 10. Jailbreak blitz. Luck throws end zone and caught. Touchdown. Hilton, left side of the end zone. Luck, deep drop after taking that snap and throws deep downfield. Hits Hilton at the 10-5. Touchdown, Colts. Luck puts the leg down. Quick throw, right side, got a man, and it's Hilton making a move. He gets into the end zone. Shook by Jonathan Joseph, and hit Pater. 9-yard TD pass from Luck to Hilton as they've hooked up 3 times.
But even as the game seemed to be slipping away, there was still a glimmer of hope for the Texans as Keenum and the offense put themselves in position to send the game into overtime with 5 seconds left on the clock.
Weeks will snap Leckler with the hole. Bullock's kick is up. It's got the leg. And Bullock misses. Game is over, and the Texans lose for the 6th straight time.
It's very upsetting and very, very frustrating.
What were your thoughts when you got a feeling about this game?
I mean, it's the same as everything else. You know, you forget everything that happened before, and you just try to mentally prepare for the next one.
What have your teammates told you?
You know, I've had a lot of guys come by and just told me to keep my head up. You know, it's, you know, they got confidence in me, and I still got confidence in myself. It's a bad outing, but I can put it behind me and move forward.
So there you have it. The Texans lose to the Colts 27-24, and Mark will be back after this break with me to talk a little bit more about that and look forward to the Arizona Cardinals. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. All right, we talked about Gary Kubiak a little bit, but can you give us fans just sort of the latest updates as to what you know about his health and where the team goes from here?
Well, Gary Kubiak's at home, and he's recovering from the mini stroke, TIA, on Sunday night with family. Rick Dennison told me that he's still checking in with him from time to time, but he actually said that he's gotten some phone calls that he hasn't returned because he just wants to make sure the coach is getting his rest. And the coach is not so much asking about specific football things, but he's concerned about everybody's well-being, making sure everybody's okay with the situation because, you know, Gary feels a tremendous sense of responsibility for everything going on with his football organization. Now, they move on for now with Wade Phillips in command, Rick Dennison calling plays, organizing the offense. Obviously, it's a very different thing, Patty, when you have that dynamic. Just being on the practice field this week and having Kubiak not there in the secondary. He always stands somewhat close to Vance Joseph, the defensive backs coach, but in his own spot, looking at practice, he's not there right now. Very strange to see him out of practice. And also, for me, I leave the facility 7:30, 8 o'clock every night after Texans radio shows, and I always look up at his office and I see the light on. And, you know, he's always in the middle of a busy workday at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night with all the screens on. But to see the light off on Monday night was just chilling to me that he wasn't out there, that he wasn't up there doing his thing. So it's a strange phenomena, and they'll just have to find a way to get through it.
I think we should go turn the light on in his honor until he comes back.
I was going to say that. I was going to say, let's make sure that that light is always on. Turn the computers on. Do it. We can afford the electric bill.
All right, so Wade Phillips, obviously very capable. He's been in this position before stepping up. The more interesting side of it to me is Rick Dennison. Mm-hmm. You said it's a very different dynamic. How much different do you expect the play calling to be? How much does he just sort of try to pick up where Gary left off? Or will we see a different sort of scheme?
Rick says that the two men are similar. They've been together so long. They've known each other 30 years and worked together countless times in different situations. So he says they have a similar approach in how to win a football game, how to attack a defense, but they're not the same. And Dennison has called plays from time to time here, but Kubiak grabs the reins back when he feels like it. And it's not an indictment against Dennison, but Gary Kubiak likes control. He's just that way. And he's the mad scientist in charge of the offense, so he likes to have the wheel much of the time. But Dennison has had it. And look, he's got a whole week to get ready for it. Now, I think it would be strange jumping into it at the half, 12-minute NFL halftime. You see one of your great friends go down and go to the hospital and, oh, by the way, call plays and get us through the rest of this game. I think that's extremely difficult. Of course, they're kind of brushing it off. No, it was no problem. But to me, that was tough. Now you get a full week to get ready. I think he'll be up for the challenge against the Cardinals.
Well, and I found it interesting in Wade Phillips' press conference today. He said at that point at the half, when he talked to Rick Dennison, he said, okay, at this point, you want to come down on the field, call the plays from here. He says, no, because he does occasionally call the plays as it is anyway, does it from upstairs, and he remained up there. And that's pretty much how it's going to be. He's going to be doing it from upstairs.
He wants to stay upstairs. He loves the bird's eye view, seeing the big picture, where the safeties line up. And then he can just relay the signals down to Carl Durrell, the quarterback's coach, who signals them into the quarterback, Case Keenum, through the helmet transmitter and receiver in Keenum's case. So you have all that going on. And they're used to that, okay? And Wade Phillips, I asked Rick Dennison, all right, fourth and one, do you go for it or not? Whose decision? And they'll mutually come up with those things. But I think Wade has the final call in those situations. Maybe Wade will say, hey, you know, it's up to you. How confident do you feel in the play call? And I think that after the game, when those situations do come up, we'll find out a lot more about the way they did handle it.
All right, well, you said the name Case Keenum. We have got to talk about him and what a euphoric first half we had going on.
That's
here
the word.
In that Reliant Stadium.
Well, it was incredible, Patty. I mean, you were in the building. I mean, everybody who saw it was just amazed at three first-half touchdown passes to Andre Johnson, career-high three TD receptions. And Dennison said they wanted to get him a fourth in the second half, but they couldn't quite connect. And it was remarkable to see Keenum on the run, just jumping a level from where he was in the Kansas City game. As well as he played in that game, he played even better in the game against the Colts. And I think if Kubiak were still around for the second half of that Colts game, there's no way they lose it, because you really felt like he was confident in what he had at the quarterback right now. And the play calls were beautiful. Everything was just clicking. Now, they weren't perfect. They failed on a fourth down and all that. But you put up three touchdowns, you're doing a lot of good things in this league, and you should be able to win the game. Unfortunately, they did not. But you have to like the steps that Case Keenum is taking as he continues to develop as an NFL quarterback.
And Case, I'm assuming, in your opinion, will remain on the field barring injury for the rest of the season?
I would think so. I mean, right now where you are, you're 2-6, and he's brought you so close. I'm sure there are instances still where you say, well, Matt Schaub might have been able to do this on this particular third down and find a tight end, whatever. But look, building a 21-0 lead, the way Matt's been playing this year, not well enough, and Keenum's just exploding. And aren't you eager to see how far he can take it? You know, how much better he gets week to week, the way the team responds to him, the defense, everything. It really is clicking right now. So you want to see it take the next step.
All right, well, we need to talk about the Arizona Cardinals. We'll do that a little bit later on in the show. Right now, we have to take a timeout, but don't go away. We'll come back. I'll sit down with linebacker Brooks Reed. Stay with us. Congratulations to Kareem Jackson for being selected as the October Whataburger Player of the Month. Jackson, along with Jonathan Joseph, will be at the Whataburger at 905 North Loop West on Tuesday, November 19th from 6 p.m. until 7. To sign autographs and meet with the fans. Each player will also receive a check for their charity. Welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, linebacker Brooks Reed. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about just this last week. Kind of an odd game, obviously, with your head coach going down. Just sort of take us through you personally. Where were you? Kind of what happened? What was going through your mind at the time?
Well, I was going up the tunnel during halftime, and I started hearing everyone scream for the trainers. And, you know, I thought at first maybe a player went down. But, in fact, it was heard a little later that it was Coach Kubiak. And everyone was pretty worried at first. And that's pretty much everyone was asking if he was okay and what the status on him was, you know, during halftime. And, you know, we finally heard that, you know, he was, you know, awake and doing okay. So it was a relief to hear that.
How much do you think his absence affected the second half?
Yeah, it's a big thing, you know, for a team to lose their head coach, you know, for that second half. And, you know, he was the one out there calling plays. And, you know, to lose that leadership, you know, probably hurt us a little bit.
You know, it's almost like we could sort of feel it. There was such a euphoric first half with, you know, Case to Andre, and just everything was going so well. And then it was almost like the air kind of got sucked out of the stadium. But just from your standpoint on the other side of the ball, watching the offense work like that,
Yeah. And
even on your side, I mean, everything was just clicking really on all cylinders in that game.
Yeah, it was. It was really fun to watch Case do that, you know, the hometown hero going out there and slinging the ball. And, you know, the stadium was trying to get a Case Keenum chant going on there for a little bit. And it was while he was driving the ball, though, so they all had to be pretty quiet. But, you know, it was a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, as a defense, that's what picks you up, you know, when the offense goes out there and scores in that fashion. You know, and it seems like, you know, we're getting better and better. It's just finishing games, and that's been the common theme. you know, these past few weeks is just not finishing games and I guess maybe not adjusting quick enough.
Well, now as you head into Phoenix in this game, your defensive coordinator will be taking over the responsibilities and the head coaching duties. Just your thoughts heading in there, and just obviously I know you're very confident and know that Wade is very capable of taking over.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and we all love Wade, and, you know, we play for him, and he's a great coach, and, you know, he calls all the plays on defense, and you know, he's been doing it a very, very long time, and you know, he tries to put us in the best position to make plays. But you know, when it comes down to it, it's us. You know, it's the players out there that have to make the plays. So you know, he could put us in the right positions, but it's up to us to let it loose.
When you look at these Arizona Cardinals, you look at their offense. What are the biggest challenges that they pose for you as a defense?
You know, they obviously have. Some weapons at wide receiver. You know, they have some really good slash runners at running back, and so you know, this is just a game where we got to, you know, almost like any other game, the goal is to stop the run, you know, and get them in passing downs. So to do that, we got to put points on the board too. So it goes hand in hand.
I know you've been asked this a million times, and I feel like we asked you this last year, but the absence and the loss of Brian Cushing to your linebacking mm-hmm. core this year, to go through it again, just kind of what did he mean, and what has that hole sort of left for you guys back there?
Well, I mean, he was the vocal leader for this team, and, you know, obviously a great playmaker, and to lose someone like that, you know, is going to hurt us. But the guys we have right now, you know, Joe Mays, Daryl Sharpton, they do an awesome job, and they're working their butts off to get better every day.
And is this sort of a going home for you a little bit, going back to Arizona?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's a little up north than to Tucson, but you know, I got a lot of family and friends going to this game, so it'll be important that I play well.
Time to step up.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck to you. We will definitely be rooting for you and your family and friends watching you. Brooks Reed, linebacker for the Houston Texans. We have to take one final time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, I will be rejoined by the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle has been brought to you in part by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. By Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. By Texas Emergency Care Center. Any emergency, day or night, ready or not, we are. And by MD Anderson, making cancer history.
Welcome back to Texas Huddle. Before we talk about the Arizona Cardinals, let's do a little mailbag.
Mailbag presented by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off game and possibly win.
All right, Cindy wants to know, since the Texans seem to be so successful on Battle Red Day in the red uniforms, any chance they go to that a little bit more often?
No shot, Cindy. Not going to happen. I seriously doubt it. You know, one thing I'd love to see for Battle Red Day, though, is red helmets. You know, that gets expensive, though, because now the helmets are more customized than ever and concussion-resistant and all of that. That's my term, not theirs. Tampa Bay, for instance, they were going to do a retro day of those old creamsicle orange uniforms, but they didn't want to pay for the new helmets that would be required, so they scrapped the whole idea. No way you're going to see all red all the time.
All right, our next question, Walter wants to know, with the situation down in Miami with Richie Incognito, you don't seem to see that type of hazing or anything anywhere near that with the Houston Texans. Is it simply just a different culture here?
It's a different culture, Patty. I was talking with Antonio Smith about it on Texans Radio. You'll see it on Texans Weekly. And it's a very different situation here. That would not happen here, would happen at Miami. And the guys here are just friendlier. There's certain stuff that goes on to baptize the rookies, if you will. There's rookie dinner stuff. And I think I've seen somebody taped to the goalpost once, but that was many years ago. But that's just your traditional rookie stuff, carrying the pads. They don't push it too far here. The culture is healthy.
All right, and finally, Brad wants to know, with the Houston Texans bringing in three kickers this week, how on earth do they decide to stick with Randy Bullock?
Wow. Hey, what if Randy hits the game winner against Arizona? I think, Patty, you invest a draft choice in a player, and we see that he's got a strong leg. And it's kind of like being tall in basketball or having a great arm in baseball that throws for a high velocity. You can't coach leg. Either you got a strong one or you don't. And Randy, we've seen him make a lot of kicks, but he's missed a lot of kicks. They're just going to give him another shot or two here and see how it goes. He had a game winner in his very first NFL experience against San Diego on national television. I like that, but you know, clearly he's got to get it together.
Yeah, I talked to Rick Smith a little bit earlier today, and he said they believe in him, and then they have to ride out some of those rookie mistakes.
Yeah, they do. And this is the first time he's missed where it's directly cost them a chance to keep playing. It directly cost them a game, and that's unfortunate. Clearly, there were other factors in losing a game than Randy Bullock, but he played a role, for
All right,
sure.
Let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals. I want to start with the running game. Arian Foster, Ben Tate, both banged up last week. Mm-hmm. Just your expectations from them and maybe who else we might expect to see.
I believe that Ben Tate and Arian Foster, they're nowhere near 100%, okay? Tate's got the cracked ribs, Foster with the back and the hamstring issues, had to leave consecutive games early on. I think you're going to see a lot more Dennis Johnson this week because it was a nice little debut for him against the Colts with the limited amount of carries, but I believe you'll see more of him as Arian Foster and Ben Tate get back up to speed. Tate's going to gut it out somehow, some way, but he's clearly not all that he could be.
And when you look at these Arizona Cardinals, on either side or both sides of the ball, the biggest challenges that they pose for the Texans?
Defensively, this is a 3-4 defense. You're in their building. It's going to be loud and crazy. They're in this thing, this wild card chase in the NFC with a 4-4 record. And they're aggressive, so Case is going to have to deal with the noise just like he did against Kansas City. And you have to deal with a pass rush and all of those things. So it's going to be harder to operate than it was in this building against the Colts. Now, for the Texans' defense, Carson Palmer is somewhat turnover prone, especially historically, so maybe they can get after him. And if they can stay in a close game or somehow grab a lead, get that pass rush firing, make some things happen.
All right, eight down, eight to go. We're at the halfway point.
Are we at the halfway point?
We need to win out.
Well, that's what it takes, right?
Indeed.
You know, I think you just take it like win Sunday, enjoy the game, hope you get a W, and then move on to the next. Everybody's doing it one day at a time right now, Pat.
All right. I will see you in Phoenix.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And we hope to see you in Phoenix as well. Be sure to tune in on Sunday at 2 p.m. for Texans Countdown Live. Mark will be there right alongside me bringing you a one-hour live pregame show and then flip right back over to Fox Sports Southwest for Texans Wrap Live as we wrap it all up for you, which hopefully will be the first of eight straight wins.
Eight straight. Let's do it now together.
Have a great week, everyone.